So we're back for with a slight change in personnel for our last case. Titled SEC versus First Choice Management, but we'll hear, I guess, from Sonko first.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, Mr. Betney?
It is, Judge. May it please the Court, my client, Sonko Holdings, was held in contempt of a district court's order. It was sanctioned well over $600,000 for its conduct. The district court labeled that sanction a remedial civil sanction, which means that it was meant to compensate the other parties in the case.
Right.
Now, we're not challenging the contempt finding in this appeal. That was decided last year. The question, though, that we're facing today is whether or not the remedy, the forfeiture of over $600,000 in property rights and about the same sum in cash, was truly compensatory. In other words, was the receiver and any other party harmed to the tune of $600,000? And if they were,
arguing there was no harm? Or
I'm arguing, Judge, that we just simply don't know at this stage of the proceedings.
Well, What about the $70,000 in the receivership costs and the $30,000 for looking after this the land where the lease where the oil leases were? Isn't that a minimal estimate of the harm to the receiver?
And let me just add to my colleague's number the $20,000 estimate to plug each well.
Right. I think both of you have put your finger right on it. We're dealing with the baldest, roughest estimates. These numbers have never been challenged in an evidentiary hearing where we hear from whatever experts are saying the well plugging costs are going
to be. All right. Did you present expert? Did you submit a request for evidentiary hearing and present some expert opinion about these issues?
We did, Judge. After this court remanded the case, we asked for an evidentiary hearing.
Well, did you present anything in support of the need for an evidentiary hearing, some evidence?
We did in our briefing post-remand.
Well, what evidence you present, say, about the $70,000 in receivership expenses?
That number, Judge, is pulled from a brief that the receiver filed well before we were held in contempt. It is just a bald estimate from the receiver where he says, literally, $70,000 in attorney fees. We don't know that all of those $70,000 in attorney fees were due to Sonko's contemptuous conduct.
Well, were there subpoenas issued to get those? Were those fee records turned over or requested that they be turned over?
No, Judge. There was no discovery done. And that's the point. These sorts of civil remedial contempt proceedings can't be done summarily. And we think that's exactly what happened here. We were entitled to some basic due process. We had notice. We had a hearing on the liability side. We had a hearing that said, okay, Sonko, you're in contempt. We never had the next step, which was evidence about what the harm caused was and what our ultimate liability would be.
Now, the January 20th order, it was an agreed order?
It was, Your Honor.
And that was an agreed order to pay the receiver the $580,000?
True, Your Honor.
So how does that fit? How does that fit into things?
Well, that was just the amount of money the parties agreed to for the wells. That's it. That was never an estimate of what the receiver's actual harm done was. I think going back, Judge, to your opinion in this case, ultimately it boils down to the fact that we never had any estimates about what the harm was to either ALCO or to the receiver. We still don't have those, even after remand. Why didn't we have an evidentiary hearing? The district judge's order, I think, gives some insight. And what he tells us is We didn't have a hearing, not because Sanko didn't request a hearing. We didn't have a hearing because Sanko waived a hearing. We didn't have a hearing because...
Now, what the judge said was the receiver's materials indicate the court's estimate of the figure needed to compensate the receiver, and Alco erred on the low side, and then he says that having had a chance to bring his books up to date, the receiver reports that, and so on, $47,000 for this, $79,000, $59,000, so on, $350,000 to Wilson. What are the material? Are you saying there's no evidentiary basis for these materials, or what are the materials that the judge is referring to?
Arguments in briefs, assertions in briefs, assertions by lawyers in briefs on behalf of their client. That's it. These assertions have never been tested by cross-examination. There has never been any discovery done to find out what those assertions are based on. That's all they are assertions. And the reason, getting back to my point, Judge, that we never had a hearing was because the district judge on page 15 of his memorandum said we didn't have a hearing because the receiver made it quite clear that he didn't want to incur that expense. But I don't think you can do away with a hearing just because one of the parties, and even if it is the complaining party, doesn't want to incur the expense. We need accurate and reliable fact-finding. Judge, in your opinion, that's one of the things you pointed out. Much about this case is opaque. It's been pending against, or Sanko has been a party since late 2005. Since that time, there has not been, as far as I can tell, a single evidentiary hearing on anything. And that is all we're asking for. We're asking the court to remand the matter with instructions to permit some discovery on the issue of damages, and then let us have an adversarial hearing to find out what the harm is and what the actual costs are. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Judge.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Vetney. Mr. Katz? Pardon? I'm sorry, Mr. Sullivan. I'm sorry.
If it pleases the court, Sean Sullivan on behalf of the receiver. Judges, today we are seeking Rule 38 sanctions and immediate dismissal of Sunco's appeal and a definitive ruling on the sales of the oil and gas leases that occurred pursuant to the order of remedy of March 1st. We have yet to hear in the 5 minutes in the previous filings why Sunco believes it's entitled to an evidentiary hearing when it never preserved that matter, going back to the prior filings and hearings. We had three of them. We had about 10 filings each and three hearings on the proposed order, which ended up being the order of remedy. How they believe they have the right to raise the issue of an evidentiary hearing now, when the first time it ever came up was literally in November 19th, 2012, when it filed its brief. The evidentiary hearing that it requested on August 9th of 2012, less than a month before the court's memorandum came out, it doesn't have anything to do with the facts related to the order of remedy. It concerns affidavits that were filed over the summer when both parties were unsure which direction the court was going to go in. Once the court chose to go the route of justification of its earlier sanction, it expressly said in its memorandum on page 15 and 16, it's not considering any of that evidence that was submitted over the summer. It has nothing to do with the memorandum in that it is solely relying on that evidence that was before the court prior to the March 1st order of remedy.
Well, your opponent says there was no evidence.
Well, we have
just assertions by the receiver in briefs.
Well, contrary to that, starting on December 13th, 2010, we filed a motion which led to what was eventually the proposed order and the order of remedy, which had 10 exhibits by itself. And then there were 9 filings by each party thereafter leading up to the order of remedy.
So in those exhibits, were there things, for example, like the $47,000 he paid, the receiver paid an enforcement cost, the bill for the $79,000 or a receipt that were the attorney's fees with the Texas entities or the $59,000. I mean, it's very specific in the order. Absolutely. And when the court concluded that this was even, that the number he was awarding was less than what, I mean, so were there documentation in what you were filing to support that?
Yes, there was.
Those figures.
Yes, there was, Your Honor. And Judge Miller, on pages 11 and 12 of his memorandum, talks about the evidence that was submitted and not contested at all.
What did it add up to?
It was in the millions. I mean, it was well beyond what Sunco had paid.
Beyond $600,000.
Well, it was certainly beyond $600,000, but it was because of some of the releases, the judge didn't go into the value of those because it just would have been futile to do so when we were well beyond the amount that Sunco had paid in as a settlement anyways. But the reason we're seeking sanctions here, and we believe it's a Rule 38 dismissal case, is because it's making this motion for an evidentiary hearing when we had 3 months of filings and hearings. We had 3 separate hearings, and they all talked about the proposed remedy that was on the table that eventually became the order of remedy. Just looking at the January 24th, 2011, order by the court, that's kind of midstream in these proceedings. It says, if Sunco is found to be in contempt of court, the penalty to Sunco might be entry of the proposed order filed by the receiver in ALCO that was the subject of the January 21st hearing, see Exhibit 1 to motion, December 16th, 2010, and that's document 723-1 in the district court proceedings, or an order substantially similar to that proposed order. So while the receiver and ALCO are filing exhibits with the court and affidavits with the court regarding what the damages are, Sunco, they did submit some evidence on their January 6, 2011 filing. They do have exhibits, and they can't have it both ways. And in some cases, if you look at their reply brief on page 2, they're saying they did challenge the damages. And then you get to the end, though, and they're saying they had no opportunity to present any evidence. We had 3 separate hearings where any reasonable attorney would have asked for the opportunity for an evidentiary hearing if it thought the other side was submitting information that was incorrect. All Judge Miller ever received was the information that we were giving them, and the reason Sunco did not contest it is because there was no ability to contest it. For instance, one of the numbers, the $498,000 that it takes to just get in compliance, to get the wells in compliance with the Texas Regulatory Code, that's a number pulled off the Texas Railroad Commission website. That's their number, usually low. It usually costs a lot more, and the buyer-operator who's out there right now has proven just that. They've spent $800,000 already out there trying to get the wells ready to produce. But that's a number that comes from the Texas Railroad Commission itself. There was never any counter evidence. In fact, Sunco's affidavits that they did submit by their own experts said, yeah, these leases are in horrible condition. And so now those costs are passed along to somebody else, and ALCO is still carrying the liability for those. So Sunco got out of that. They obviously got out of the $250,000 that they didn't pay as part of the settlement. I mean, these are big numbers that are irrefutable. To have an evidentiary hearing at this point, even if they did get beyond the fact that they waived their chance a long time ago to get that, would only show, I think as Judge Miller alludes to on page 16 of his memorandum, it's only going to lead to a much higher damages number.
So the bottom line is, you provided affidavits, you provided documentation to support it. It just wasn't a matter of just briefs, lawyers making arguments. And there were no counter documents provided, and they were given an opportunity to submit them.
Absolutely. And Mr. Katz can speak for himself. I wouldn't steal any of his thunder. But when he submitted his affidavit of his attorney fees, I mean, he's right there for cross-examination. He's right there, and the document's right there for any kind of refutation. And there was none. And that's the way it went all along. What we got from Sunco instead, if you looked at the transcripts from the December 13th, 2010 hearing, the January 21st hearing, and the February 24th hearing, what you'll see is just Sunco coming up with all kinds of reasons why it hasn't become the operator yet, and no refutation of the evidence of the numbers, because the numbers are self-explanatory to a certain degree when you're talking about attorney fees, and we're getting dragged into court three times in a three-month period, and we each got nine filings each. I mean, I don't think that's there's a big stretch there that there would be $70,000 in attorney fees. When you put in addition to that, the things that we have going on with the Texas Railroad Commission, and if I could just talk about that for 1 second before I turn it over to Mr. Katz. We do still continue to deal with the Texas Railroad Commission and the buyer operator on a daily basis, because there are some serious problems with the fact that we haven't been able to validate the sale order, which the leases were transferred pursuant to. As the court already knows, we were not able to get the Texas Railroad Commission to move, so we're really in the same place that we were when Sunco filed on November 18, 2010, for an extension of the injunction to become the operator. We're actually still in that same spot. ALCO is still the operator today, more than two years later, because of the confusion caused by the filings and the fact that, I mean, there's a lot of black-letter law out there on the point. I think we cited 18 cases to the court, and yet we haven't been able to get the Texas Railroad Commission to move. If we don't get some kind of validation that those transfers, those unstayed transfers pursuant to the sale order were good, we still may have a lot of fallout from this case. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Sullivan. Mr. Katz?
Thank you, Your Honor. Over 2 years ago, Sunco asked for a two-year extension of time, and it was denied. But here we are 2 years later, and the wellheads continue to languish and deteriorate. And my client is the operator of record and continues to bear the responsibility for all compliance costs. What bothers me as to the situation we're in is I'm hearing counsel saying we never got the opportunity for an evidentiary hearing. I distinguish oral argument for an evidentiary hearing. Judge Miller set this case not for oral argument three times, but for hearing three times. It's not our responsibility, either the receivers or ALCO's, to tell Sunco the hearing means a hearing. If you're going to have evidence, bring it to the hearing to present it. They chose not to. Sunco chose not to. Sunco chose to argue the exhibits that they had filed and the exhibits we had filed. During our hearing, we submitted evidence. I submitted evidence including my attorney fees, and the court accepted those. The attorney for Sunco said she had not had an adequate opportunity to review them. The court gave her the opportunity after that hearing to file any pleading she sought with regard to those attorney fees or the need for a hearing as to my testimony as to those attorney fees and how they were incurred, and she chose not to file anything. We had three hearings. We had three evidentiary hearings where the parties argued and presented exhibits. At that last hearing on January 21st of 2011, we argued over emails between Ms. Holman on behalf of Sunco and myself. That was evidence. That was tangible. That was before the court as to whether or not they had a responsibility to be the operator. They started in December of 2010 arguing before the district court that Sunco had an obligation to become the operator. Why else would they have even purchased these leases? Then they come before this court in their briefing and brief to this court that they had no responsibility to become the operator under the agreed order. Sunco has been all over the board on this, and my client languishes, the wells languish, the leases are not being produced, and the Texas Railroad Commission refuses to proceed in the absence of a clearly defined unappealable order, that the buyer-operator has the legal right to proceed. For that, we are requesting that the appeal be dismissed and the request of their brief be denied.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Katz. So, Mr. Vetney, you have anything further?
I'd like to focus on a couple of discrete things. First, this attorney fee issue. Judge, as you noted in your order last time around, the $22,000 in attorney fees is not at issue. Never has been. We paid that, no question, based upon Mr. Katz's testimony. The question is there any other evidence of actual loss? And there's not been. Why do we care? Because
wait a second. What about both Mr. Sullivan and Mr. Katz said there have been evidentiary hearings. They have produced, they have presented evidence, not just briefing. And so you had an opportunity to present evidence and didn't. Is that false?
That is false, Judge. It is.
If we look in the record, we will not find any exhibits, any evidentiary materials, except Mr. Katz's attorney fee affidavit?
You may find evidentiary materials, Judge, but you will not find any
evidence. What do you mean, I may find? Well, are you contradicting them and saying there are no evidentiary materials except the Katz affidavit? Are you going to say that to us?
I am not going to say that to you. What I am going to say to you...
There are evidentiary materials. And in your opening argument, of course, you denied that.
That's true, Judge, and I stand by the denial.
The conduct of Sonco in this proceeding has been really scandalous. And what do you mean you're going to stand by it? You've just admitted there are evidentiary materials in the record.
There are, Judge.
In opening argument, you said there weren't.
There has been no evidence about the harm caused by the contempt. That is the point I'm trying to make. No evidence about the harm caused by the contempt. And we need to have an evidentiary hearing to get to the bottom of that.
But
because
there have been evidentiary hearings in which you had an opportunity to introduce evidence. So why didn't you present your evidence about, you know, these costs were caused by something other than the contempt? Why didn't you present your evidence?
This all developed over a five-day period in late February 2011. The district court held a hearing, a show cause hearing, not an evidentiary hearing, a show cause hearing on whether Sonco was in violation of the order. And we were held in violation of the order. The question then became, what is the remedy for our violation? And there has never been an evidentiary hearing to find out what the harm done was. And what
but see, you don't have to have a hearing unless something is disputed. And they say that they provided all these documents that supported the numbers. So did you file anything that contradicted the numbers or said these numbers don't tie to the harm?
We did, Judge.
As affidavits or some kind of documentation other than your general argument that we shouldn't have to pay. Because that's been resolved.
We did, Judge. On February...
You presented evidence?
We made...
Did you present evidence?
No, Judge.
No. They presented evidence. You didn't present evidence.
They made arguments.
They presented evidence. You admitted that.
You got copies of the affidavits and the numbers that he talked about and the numbers the court talked about in its opinion. The bills, affidavits, the thing on the website. You got a copy of that. You saw that. That was part of what they submitted. Right? Can you speak? You got that. You saw that. That was part of what they filed. And usually if somebody else provides that kind of documentation, then if you have a contrary story, you provide documentation, and then the court can make a decision. The court can't make the decision in a void. Otherwise, you lose, which is what happened.
What happened is The judge made a determination based on arguments, based on things that were alleged well before Sanko was found in contempt.
Okay, well, I think we understand the position. The time has expired. So we thank both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement.